How's it going, guys? So, Thomas here. Checking back in, touching bases. Hope everybody's having a good, happy Father's Day. Guess I'll go back and talk about the tag teams. Yesterday. I was really, captivated by the Road Warriors, Adam Allen Hawk, Paul Ellery, Demolition, Powers of Pain, Midnight Express, Rock and Roll Express, Fabulous Freebirds. The list goes on and on, man. The British Bulldogs, the Islanders, the Samoan SWAT team, the Skyscrapers. There was a lot of tag teams out back then that were very, very intimidating as well as entertaining. And like I said, the list goes on and on because you could go back and forth from NWA right when they turned into WCW, competing with WWF at the time. AWA was kind of at the end, and it wasn't as entertaining. Everybody had held the title by the time it collapsed. But those two organizations there, man, they dominated, and they had some of the best talent. You know, tag team divisions, you know, you saw guys team up like Dustin Rhodes and Barry Windham. Those two guys, you know, coming from Texas, you know, the same height, had the same build. They were both excellent in the ring. It was good to see that. Something like Cesaro and Sheamus being a tag team now. They look pretty good together, but it's only a matter of time before they bust that up because Sheamus has been world champion before, and both of those guys have held other titles besides the ones they're currently holding. So you can tell when you hook up two guys that came into business as single competitors as a tag team, it's not going to work as well as Demolition or as the Road Warriors or, you know, something like that. A lot of teams stood out, but for me, it was three teams that had three guys that broke off from the tag team division and went through and held the singles titles and won the world's title, and all three are Hall of Famers now. And that would be the Hart Foundation with Bret Hart, the Rockers with Shawn Michaels, and Harlem Heat with Booker T. All three of those guys, when they left the tag team division, excelled. They went off and held the TV title. Booker T did the U.S. title, and he moved up to the WCW championship, which was an achievement to see a black man get that belt with Goldberg being there, with everyone being in there. He was very, very entertaining. People liked him. They just fell in love with his charisma, his ability in the ring. It was something to see. Bret Hart, you know, and Shawn Michaels, to me, they stood out as well as Booker T. On the teams, those three guys, you could tell were single competitors because they did, to me, they did most of the work on the teams. Not to take anything away from Stevie Ray, Marty Jannetty, or Jim Neidhart, but the other three guys just, when they got in the ring, they tore it up. They done some things that a lot of people enjoy seeing. Myself, and I know a lot of people did as well. These guys have done, you know, tremendous things, you know, as far as winning a singles title. One thing I liked about Bret Hart, when he first won the title in WWE at the time, he beat Ric Flair. I don't even think it was on a pay-per-view or something like that. I don't remember if it was or not. But what I was getting to is that when he won, he didn't go around bragging, hey, I beat Flair. And I heard Ric Flair say in an interview shortly after that he respected him for that. Because you don't go around doing that. He said Bret did what he did. He just won the title and started defending it. And that's what Ric Flair's done his whole career. That's what Bret Hart did. Shawn Michaels did the same thing as well as Booker T. That's what you want to do. You don't want to go around and say, well, hell, I beat you this time, I beat you that time. The current time is what matters. You're the man. You're the man with the goal. You're the man that everybody's coming after. So you got a job to do. You got a job to defend that title, carry with respect and pride, and be ready for all people to come at you because you're a target. You're a moving target. People are going to say things, get under your skin. They're going to try to bully you some kind of way. It's going to be backstage politics, and you got to be ready for anybody that challenges you. That's one thing about being that champion. A lot of people say it's scripted, which it is. We all know that, but it's very, very difficult when you got all these other elements falling in. You always got somebody on the sideline saying, hey, why did he get the shot and I didn't? We started at the same time. I feel that I'm just as good. Well, people go by the fan base. You know, other people see things that you don't see. Granted, you're in the ring and you're looking out at the people, but the people behind the scenes are looking at you and the people all at the same time. You have to focus on the guy that you're wrestling. So it's difficult, you know, for a lot of guys to accept that they don't get the opportunities like Booker T, Shawn Michaels, and Bret Hart coming in as a tag team. But through it all, Demolition was good. I stopped being a fan once they brought Crush, brought him in as a member, which I'm not, I was never a fan of his, but the man was, he was a body. He was in there. I don't remember him holding any other title except the title with Smash. And I think that only happened because Axe had taken ill and they put him in. And he had the size, of course, but his skills to me were just, they were limited. So he never won a title in WCW. He was on the B side of the NWO. He wasn't really one that stood out to me. Hawk and Animal had their problems after they left the WWF back then. I don't think WWF used them the right way. And it happens a lot when you start off somewhere else and you're successful there. By the time you come to WWE, your success is not going to be as what you expect. The only ones that really have changed that I've seen so far has been Samoa Joe and AJ Styles. Those two have been able to, and Bobby Roode. Those three have been able to keep growing, going to the top, and once they get to the top, they grow from the top, and that's what you want to do. They've been able to do that. But the tag team division, to me, hasn't been on the A plus side. To me, it's been like a C or C minus. It's not as entertaining. The Usos, they've been there, done that. They're not as good as what their father had done with Sabu. You know, Sabu is the Samoan SWAT team. You know, when he was with Haku, the Islanders or whatnot. They're not on that level. But granted, those guys have wrestled longer than his sons are. They just need that. I like that they're heels now, but their ability hasn't changed. They need to add some more stuff to their repertoire, is what I'm saying. And Cesaro and Sheamus, they're awesome. Two strong guys that can get in there and can go ahead with anybody, but I don't see that lasting because, like I said, Sheamus has been champion before. He beat John Cena fair and square for the title and then go around bragging about it. And he kept defending it like a champion is supposed to. Them two together, they look good. Until they figure out what they're going to do with the Hardy Boys, which we know they're going to split those two guys. Matt's going to do his gimmick, and Jeff's going to do whatever he's going to do. It was good to bring them back. Of course, they're going to be more successful than the Dudleys because the Hardy Boys really rose to fame in the WWE. The Dudleys were already well-polished machines by the time they arrived at WWE, coming from ECW. So you know when they came back this last time, it wasn't going to be as much success as what the Hardys are facing right now. So for me, the Dudley Boys, they say they won a lot of championships. But for me, Vince McMahon had already purchased WCW by the time those titles were in the WWE. To me, Undertaker and Kane and the Dudley Boys and other tag teams that won them while they were in the WWE, to me, that's not really, I don't really count that. You're not a WCW champion because at the time, that company was gone. Those titles were in the organization that you were currently working for. So you can count, people can count that. You can say I'm wrong about it. That's just my opinion, and I understand what people are saying. But to me, I don't recognize that because the organization doesn't exist. It's just like it's an NWA now up north, and it's one in the south. That organization was the one that started it all right there with WWF, when Vince Sr. had opened and started going. Those are the only two factors. And then you got other people that started getting in and breaking off and you know, starting up organizations and these indies and everything. The indies are going to always be there. That's what's there now. Always. You know, but it, you know, I don't recognize that as for those guys being tag team champions of WCW. I'm sorry. That's just my opinion. And not to say that they couldn't do it, but back then there were so many tag teams there. I don't think WCW would have used them the proper way. They would have used them like another Public Enemy. Public Enemy was a knockoff of them. And Public Enemy, I don't think, ever held the WCW belts. I may be wrong on that, but I don't really remember them holding the titles. You know, you had Harlem Heat that was still in the way. NWO was coming on. You had a lot of factions, a lot of different teams. The Steiner Brothers were still together. And to me, the Steiner Brothers and the Harlem Heat were the toughest two teams back at that point. At that time, I think they were the toughest ones. And once Scott turned on Rick, they left Harlem Heat to do something, but yet Booker T, shortly after he won the TV title, he never looked back. He didn't have to. Stevie Ray was, he was decent, but He never won nothing else after that either. He knew that his brother was it, you know. And I don't think there was any jealousy there. At least he hadn't said that publicly, but the tag team division today, it's terrible to me. That's just an opinion, but like I said, I apologize to anybody that disagrees, but it's not as solid as it was. The 80s and 90s and early 2000s had the best tag teams. Guys worked together as a unit. They did what they were supposed to do, but you don't see it like that anymore. When you have to get two single competitors together, that's when you know you got a problem. I mean, you shouldn't have to do that. It should be some guys coming from a gym or something from somewhere that can make this work, that can take it to that level. But I'm not seeing it. The Authors of Pain, with what Paul Ehrlich is doing, he knows, and we all know, there'll never be another Road Warriors, another Legion of Doom. There'll never be another Hawk and Animal. But these guys, they look pretty good. And they got the best guy that could show them how to do it, because he took the best tag team that ever came in this business and took them. He was with them when they won it all, everywhere, except for the first time they won it in WWE against the Nasty Boys. He wasn't there, but he's part of the reason why they were so successful, because he was just, not to take words from anybody, but Arn Anderson said it best in the DVD about the Road Warriors. He was the straw that stirred the drink. He was the calm before and after the storm. And if these guys want to be successful, he's the guy to listen to. You know, from him being a wrestler, being a manager, and understanding it from a business and an entertainment standpoint, you can't knock that. So for me to see him with these guys, as long as they follow his instructions and do what Vince McMahon wants, then they'll be fine. But that's just something I want to just bring up for the current moment, not to, like I said, piss anybody off or anything like that, but I honestly do feel that the tag team division needs a shot in the arm. It needs to be pumped up, because what we're going through right now is just, it's not entertaining. There's so much has to be focused on the singles titles, which is no problem with that, because, excuse me, that's how it all started. And the tag team division is dropping down to a point that way we have to focus on the divas a lot, which I don't have no problem with that, but that needs to be addressed as well, because the women don't wrestle anything like Trish, Lita, you know, Tori, Ivory, Jacqueline. They don't wrestle like they do. Beth Phoenix, Chyna, they're not on that level. They're more about the look. There's some athleticism there. Now, Nia Jax and Charlotte, I love them to death. Gail Kim, I love her too. There's a couple of girls out there on NXT that's doing some crazy-ass moves. Now, they're getting it. But we need you to put the hair up in a band or rubber band or something like that. Go in there without the makeup on and kick ass. Because the women don't have the mic skills, for one thing, like the women in the heyday used to do. Sensational Sherry could scream, but bring that sex appeal and that ring ability. She could bring it all. She was the total package. Miss Elizabeth had the look, the glamour. She was the calm for Randy Savage, for Lex Luger. She wasn't a wrestler. She didn't have to get in the ring like that. Sensational Sherry could pull it off. You know, we don't have women strong like that. We don't have the leaders, the Trish Stratus's no more. We don't have that. We don't have the Tories. Both Tories, the one that was with Kane and Tori Wilson. We don't have that no more. We need more than just the long legs of Stacey Keibler. We need more than just a look. You're going to always be able to find a sexy woman, or a woman you can make look sexy. We need women with abilities in there. I think Beth Phoenix was the last one that could dominate like that. The next one that should be, I wish Jimmy Superfly Snooker's daughter was, I think it was Tamia or whatever. I wish she was in there. We were able to dominate, but she didn't really get it going like she needed to. But Nia Jax is the truth. That's a badass woman, man. She needs to really, really get a push, because she can kick some ass. To be 6 foot and move like she does, she's an intimidating woman. I love her to death. I think she's beautiful. She's talented. She can do a lot of things. And she reminds me of Awesome Kong. She's on her own level, like Awesome Kong was, or Karma. So there's a lot of things they need to address, but I'm always going to be a WWE fan. I've got nothing but the utmost respect for Vince McMahon. For a man to be able to take a company to the heights that he has, purchase it from your father, and just beef it up and just keep it going while other people have jobs. You can't knock that. Regardless of what the backstage politics are, if you agree with how he did this person or that person for their race or their sex or whatever, that's between him and whoever. But we can't deny that with him purchasing this company from his father and taking it to the heights that he did to sit down and say, I got this idea, and to create something with Hulk Hogan, Stone Cold, The Rock, The Undertaker, and John Cena, to be able to do what he did with these five, Triple H, these six, you know, you can't knock it. Those are the ones that brought him the most money, the ones that he was so successful with. And for me, it started with Hogan. So I got no problem with Hogan trying to come back for whatever he's trying to do. I don't think he should wrestle, but the man knows his body. Hell, if Ric Flair could wrestle, he would be in it right now. But I just, you know, the shot needs to be injected, man. It needs to be in there. For tag teams, that'd be where I would start at first. We have to get that going at some point. So if you're cool with it and understand what I'm saying, you know, drop your opinions, let me know. Like I said, I'm not here to piss anybody off. I just want us to get on that level and just remember, hey, this is what it's about, man. You know, we all grew up, we knew what we grew up looking at. I know times change and things change, but we see blood and UFC didn't come on regular TV now. The Attitude Era took it to a whole nother notch. Not saying do that again because you can't, because you don't have the talent to pull it off. Not like it was. Because AJ Styles, Seth Rollins, and Samoa Joe, those guys are the truth. I love them to death. They are my favorite three. That's why I look at it. Those guys, they're badass. A-plus guys. But we got to take care of the tag team division and the Divas. We gotta do something with that. So hope everybody's enjoying the Father's Day weekend. Where I'm at, it's rainy. I don't know about where you are, but be safe or whatever you do. You all take care. We get ready for the work week, and we'll get back together a couple of days or a week from now, and we'll just catch up, and we'll go over another topic. Good talking to you. This is Mr. T signing out. God bless.